Everything
we're doing a Gemara Brachos Yutesam Beis, and we began the Gemara with a quote of Rav that if one finds Kelayim D'oraisa in his garment, he has to remove them, even though it's embarrassing, it's human dignity, but a biblical prohibition overrides human dignity. And then we kept bringing sources that seemed to indicate that human dignity takes precedence, and each time we had a different answer. So now the Gemara brings another quote, Tashma. Come here, the next proof we have. The Braisa derives from the Pasuk, Vila Achoto. The Pasuk describes a man who is a Nazir. Throughout the period of his vow of Nizirut, and Nizirut means he has to separate himself from anything that stems from a grape or wine or the peel or the seed of the grape, or vinegar, anything that comes from a grape is prohibited on him. And he is also prohibited from becoming defiled. So the Torah says, Al nefesh mit lo yavo. He should not come in contact with any deceased. And then the Torah delineates. His father, his mother, his brother, his sister, he should not become defiled for them. Now, the question is, why did the Pasuk delineate all of them? The Torah already said, do not become defiled for anyone. So anyone means anyone. What do you have to repeat and tell me? Father, mother, brother, sister, none of the above. So the Talmud says, okay, if he was a Nazir, and he encountered his father, he's prohibited. Why did it have to say his father? To tell me specifically his father. But what about a meis mitzvah? What about a corpse that has no one there to bury him? No one within shouting distance? So then, he would bury him himself. So, that's why the Torah has to say his father. He shouldn't become defiled for his father to be mima'it, to tell me to the exclusion of a mit mitzvah. So you see, human dignity overrides his nizirut. Why does it say his mother? Well, that tells you even if he has two levels of holiness. He's a Nazir plus a Kohen. So the Torah is telling you he shouldn't become defiled for his mother. But if it's a meis mitzvah, then that overrides even these two levels of holiness. Why does it say his brother? Let's say he's a Kohen Gadol and a Nazir, and he meets a body. So he shouldn't get defiled if it's his brother, but if it's a meis mitzvah, then he does. What about his sister? You covered everything. So now what? It says, don't get defiled for your sister. Why does it say he shouldn't get defiled for his sister? That's telling me, I guess, a totally different case, because he covered everything with the father, mother, brother. So what's the sister telling me? Don't get defiled for the sister, but let's say he was en route for bringing his paschal offering. We know you're not supposed to become tameh before the regel. It says, uvnivlatam lo tigau. You're not allowed to become defiled. The regel's coming up. You have to be prepared to bring the korban. And he's going to circumcise his son. Vishama shemit lumit. And he heard that one of his relatives passed away. Yachol yachzo b'itameh. Maybe he should make an about face, turn around, go back, get defiled, because his relative passed away. So the amata lo itama. The pasuk says, no. That he has to bring his sacrifice. He's responsible to bring the korban pesach. So he can't defile himself and then forgo the mitzvah, bring the paschal offering, or circumcising his son, which are the two mitzvos asay for which one would get kares if he transgressed. Ordinarily, kares is a punishment for lo asay. The Pesach and the Bris Milah are the two sole examples of a mitzvah asay that's punishable with kares.
Are we still talking about the person that will do a mitzvah tamet if he finds someone?
Oh, but if it's his relative.
But if someone informs him that a relative died, so there are other people to bury the relatives.
If it's a relative that has people who will bury him, so then he does not go back. Yachol kishem sheino mitameh lahim. You might say, just as he does not get defiled for his relative who passed away, he does not forgo the mitzvos in order to attend their funeral. By the same token, maybe, if he's en route to do these very important mitzvos, he should not mess up his plans by becoming defiled for a mes mitzvah. Talmud lomar, that's what the pasuk came to teach me, v'la'achoto. It's telling me, la'achoto deino mitameh. A person, specifically a Nazir, does not become tamei for his own sister. A person en route to these mitzvos would not become defiled for his own sister. He'd let other people deal with it. Doesn't matter. There are other people there to deal with it. Aval mitameh ole mit mitzvah. But he would become defiled for a meis mitzvah. So you see from here, what's the whole idea of meis mitzvah? Human dignity. This is the source for the concept that human dignity overrides a mitzvah. Amai. Why do you become defiled and take care of the human dignity and bury the person? Why don't we say the same logic we said in the previous Amud, that any time that human dignity comes in conflict with the biblical mitzvah, the mitzvah overrides? And says the Gemara, no, the Torah told you specifically that this type of human dignity takes precedence. Okay, so why don't you derive from that? I understand that in that case the Torah taught it to you, but why don't you derive from that to all other instances where human dignity comes in conflict with the mitzvah? Answers the Gemara, Shevalta Seshani. Okay, so the simple reading of the Gemara says that over here I'm not actively transgressing human dignity. I'm going to do my mitzvah, and I'm not actively transgressing the mitzvah. I'm going to take care of the deceased. And then by default, what's going to happen is I won't perform the biblical mitzvah because I won't be able to. It's Sheval Tase.
It's also mitzvah to bury the dead.
Right. But
we don't pass on a mitzvah to another one, right? So if we see that a person is lying dead on the floor, we will bury the person. But the fact that we know that we are on the way to the Beit HaMikdash to offer a sacrifice. Or there are levels in which we can say mitzvah tase. There are levels that we can say it's bigger than these ones.
I don't know what would be in a case where he has to actually pass the deceased in order to go to the other mitzvah.
No, not to pass. He can go to another route, but he knows that the person lying dead there is rotten up, so why not bury it?
So for a mitzvah we would.
Right. So it's the fact that he knows that he's going to the Beit HaMikdash.
Right.
Or not going because he will be already tameh.
Right.
But we don't pass onto another mitzvah. Because we cannot gauge.
Are you asking? Are you saying? I'm not following what you're saying. So what's the question?
I'm asking the question. We're talking about this person doing a met mitzvah, despite the fact that it will become tameh, and they will not offer sacrifice. Both mitzvot are the right. Right? Met mitzvah and korban.
So okay. See,
we cannot say this mitzvah is more important to offer sacrifice in the Mikdash is more important than met mitzvah. We cannot make these cheshbonos, can we? Therefore, we'll make ourselves tameh, we'll do the met mitzvah, but we can by doing that we'll not be able to offer a sacrifice in the Mikdash because we will be tameh.
Everything you're saying is what it says in the Gemara, so what's bothering you? I'm not following.
Okay. I was following that was not there. Okay.
So the Gemara asked, why don't we derive from this to other instances where human dignity comes in conflict with the mitzvah? And the Gemara answers, Sheval Taaseh Shani, that an instance where you didn't actively transgress a mitzvah, where he just dealt with the mitzvah, and then by default what happens is he won't perform the mitzvah of the Karban Pesach or the Bris Milah. That's Sheval Taaseh, he didn't do it. It's not an active transgression.
There is no need to say that, because if we know that...
Wait. Let's hear the Gemara out, and then let's ask questions. 1 second. The simple understanding from the Gemara at this point is that any instance where I can observe the mitzvah or I can do something for human dignity, and then by default through Shev Ve'al Taaseh, I won't perform a biblical mitzvah, is okay. That's the simple reading of the Gemara. Rashi comes to preclude from that understanding. Let's read Rashi. Yes. Shev ve'al ta'aseh shani. I'm not promising to resolve all our issues here, but let's at least see Rashi. Dvarim rabim etiru la'akor divrei Torah mipnei siyag u'mipnei kvod abriyot. Heicha de'ino oker davar b'maaseh yadayim. Ela yoshev b'mkomo v'dvar Torah ne'ekar me'elav. There are many instances that our sages permitted the uprooting of a biblical mitzvah for the sake of a siyag, a fence, a protector for a mitzvah, or for the sake of human dignity. In instances where he is not actively uprooting a mitzvah, but he is sitting at home, and the mitzvah is getting uprooted on its own, so to speak. He's not actively doing something. Kigon, Tkiat Shofar, for example, you're supposed to blow shofar on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. It's a biblical mitzvah. If it falls out on Shabbos, the rabbi said, don't blow it. Wow, it's a biblical mitzvah. How could the rabbis tell me not to do it? Velulav b'Shabbat, or shaking a lulav the first day of Sukkot on Shabbos. That's biblical the first day, and yet Chazal said, if it's a Shabbos, don't do it. V'sadin b'tzitzit, and putting tzitzis in one's blanket, which would also seem to be biblical, and Chazal said not to do it. You have many examples of this in Yevamos. So until now, Rashi has been describing rabbinic institutions. But our sages would never allow us to actively uproot a mitzvah for the sake of human dignity. Valovesh kilayim, and when someone is wearing kilayim, and this is a big chiddush in Rashi, and that seems to be pshat in the Gemara, okero b'maasim mamash, that's considered active uprootal of the mitzvah. Shehu lov shoh, wearing something is considered an activity. You're wearing kilayim, every second you're wearing it is like you're active. V'tumat gufei, what about when the Nazir and the Kohen become Tamei? Isn't that actively uprooting a mitzvah? And so why can't we derive from there? One second, sorry. Okay. Because in those instances, it's not out of reverence for human dignity that we're uprooting the prohibition. Because initially when the Torah says, don't get defiled, that prohibition did not encompass a case of mitzvah. Just as it didn't encompass the relatives. The relatives, the meaning here is for a coin. But when it comes to returning a lost item or bringing a paschal offering, so then that's a mitzvah for everyone. And the Torah said, for the sake of human dignity, you can forego these mitzvos. So in those two instances, the chiddush is you can do it for human dignity, but we say you cannot derive from them because in those two instances you didn't actively uproot the mitzvah. You actively went and did, and either forwent Shavas Aveda or became Tameh. He isn't active and the mitzvah gets uprooted. When he walks by the lost object in the cemetery, he didn't do anything. He just forwent the mitzvah. When he went and became defiled, and as a result, he won't bring the paschal offering, that's Sheval Tase. Aval Kilayim de Masei Adav Yidache Zir Bazarato. The Kilayim, the Torah warned about. So this Rashi needs a lot of work.
Why do we give so much importance of someone why the Gemara is giving so much importance of a person being Tameh, and therefore he cannot offer a sacrifice? This also mitzvah Tase, met mitzvah, this also mitzvah Tase. We cannot forego that a person is lying. Corpse is lying on the middle of the street. Therefore,
which mitzvah to say is it?
V'avtalera kamocha. I don't know.
Is there v'avtalera kamocha when a person's dead?
But there is a specific pasuk to say that you cover it. You cover it.
Which pasuk?
I don't know. I'm trying. There is none like that.
I think this is where it says.
Where what?
What we're learning now, I think, is the source.
He brings a pasuk.
The pasuk v'la'achoto, the pasukim by a nazir.
Okay.
I
know there is a specific pasuk that says you will bury the person.
It says lo talin nivlato al etz ki kavok tikberenu b'yom ahu.
It says about nazir. It's not about any other Israel. It's about nazir.
No, everyone has a mitzvah to bury a Jew that needs burial.
So that I'm saying. So why the focus is of a person getting tameh, therefore he cannot offer sacrifice. We cannot make the choshmonot and thinking is more important to offer a sacrifice on Bet Mikdash than to do a mitzvah that I can do it now. That's the person that the corpse is lying on the floor. So you cannot pass on that mitzvah. You see a corpse on the floor. You go bury it.
I don't know.
You understand my point?
You're saying en mavirin ala mitzvot.
Right, and we're giving too much importance of getting tame. Okay, but you know, okay, but how come we don't pass another mitzvah, and therefore to cover the debt? Okay, but you have a mitzvah that is also taseh. Are you going to let the corpse rotting there? It's not kavod. It's not kavod abriyot even.